Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. Now, we're turning to Matthew chapter 13 again. We're looking at the parable told by the Savior. The end of the chapter, it's all about the fishing net. The fishing net. I mentioned on Tuesday how that this is number 7, the 7th parable in the chapter 13. And 7 is a number that suggests and speaks of fullness, as we have 7 days in a week, making a full week. I think that that is suggested to us here. We discover in the verse 51, at the end of the Savior telling this parable, he asks them the question, "Have ye understood all these things?" And they say unto him, "Yea, Lord." So there's a growing in knowledge. I hope that's happening here. As we seek to instruct in the Word of God, I hope that you are growing in knowledge and understanding these things. That's the greatest thing. Oh, I know you want good marks in your GCSE exams, etc. And I know the teachers would like you to get good marks, but there's nothing more important than getting an understanding of the gospel. GCSE good marks may well prove to be a means of opening a door for you to good employment, profitable employment. But to get understanding of the gospel will open the door of heaven. It will open the door of heaven. And you will enter in there forever and ever through understanding the gospel. Now, I'm going to read to you just a couple of verses from Romans. You needn't look it up unless you can nimbly do so. It's chapter 10 of Romans. Chapter 10, and the verse 13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Then the next verse says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" There's a series of weak questions. How? "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." But how will they call if they never have heard of him? And how shall they hear and believe in him if someone hasn't brought them the gospel? And how will that happen unless there comes a preacher? Now in Matthew chapter 13, Savior paints a picture of men fishing. Big net thrown out into the sea. And as I've said, that net is a picture of the gospel. The labours of the fisherman is the labour undertaken by a preacher of the gospel. He must cast the net out into the sea. And we're reminded, you know, we cannot see people saved unless we go out there with the gospel. Go out there and cast the net out into the deep, the dark places of this world. Oh, I know we would like to sort of sit in the church in comfort and just wait on sinners coming to us. I'm sure fishermen would like if they could just sit in the harbour and wait for the fish to come to them and jump into their boat. That's not how it's done. And likewise, God requires of us, preachers and congregation, to engage in the labour of setting the gospel before sinners, setting out the net, spreading it in order to catch sinners. Now, we mentioned to you on Tuesday how that the Lord, in speaking of sinners in this fashion, as fish, illustrates just how lost man is. He's out there in the deep and in the darkness and in the coldness. For the depths of the ocean is a picture of what this world is like. It's a dark, deep, cold place. And out of it, sinners have to be lifted by the gospel net. Now, the fisherman, when he pulled in the net, he brought the fish up from the depths, up from the gloom of the ocean depths, up from the coldness of the ocean depths, up into the sunlight, up into the warmth, up into the beauty of another world. Another world. And you know, boys and girls, that's a world the fish hate. All the way up as the net is being drawn, the fish are struggling. What to do? Get out of the net. Get out of the net and go back down to where it was that the net found them. And sinners hate the world to which the gospel would draw them. They hate it. They hate it. It's absolutely contrary to what world they enjoy. To be brought up out of the depths and into the sunlight and into the air. Something the fish ate. They hated altogether. John chapter 3 and the verse 20 spells it out for us. And these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And there, in those words of the Lord Jesus, you can just see the fish struggling to get out of the net and get away from the world to which the net is drawing them and back down into the depths of the sea. Everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither cometh to the light. They were running away from it, rather. Now, the reason why the sinner doesn't like the light and why the fish doesn't like the bright, airy, warm world that lies above the sea is because the fish will die when taken out of the water. It's death to them. It's death to them. We have a little proverb that's common throughout the world when describing someone who is not comfortable in the company that he finds himself. We look at him and we say, you know, he's a fish out of water. He's not happy in this company. He'd rather be somewhere else. He's a fish out of water. And I tell you this, when you take a fish out of water, that fish is very uncomfortable. It's gasping for air because it can't breathe as you and I would breathe. It must be in a watery environment and extract oxygen from the water through its gills. Different process altogether from the means by which we live in the air. It's out of that place where it's content and happy. That's how it is with the sinner. A sinner in the gospel meeting is a fish out of water. A sinner among Christians who are discussing the things of God is a fish out of water. He'd rather be somewhere else. It is said of Judas when he died, he took his own life. He went to his own place. He went to his own place. Among the apostles, in the presence of Christ, he wasn't in his own place. That wasn't the place he enjoyed. He was a fish out of water. And at the end of this age, when the Lord Jesus assembles all those who claim to be Christians and judges them and separates the sheep from the goats, he will say to those who are not sheep, but just look like sheep to some degree, he will say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Another place, Matthew 25, he says, depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's your place. That's your place. That's your company. I never knew you. You spent your time, though professing to be a Christian, working iniquity. Because you were not truly a Christian, though. All right, then. Depart. Go to your own place. Go to your own place. No. Up there in the air and in the sunshine, that's not a place that the fish are happy. It's a place they can't live. They just can't live there. They just can't live there. Don't you see the picture the Savior's painting here? The net cast in, pulled to the surface with a fish in it. Now, we are told in the parable that when the net is pulled up, in verse 48 of chapter 13 of Matthew, we read, gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. There's a separating takes place. The good. What is meant here by good? It's fish that's edible. Oh, there's many of fish down there in the ocean that you can't eat. You can't eat. Oftentimes, there's poison in them, and you just can't eat them. The flesh, it's just not edible. But the good fish, they were gathered in order to become food. And that's what the Lord Jesus is talking about when he talks about good fish. Now, the surprising thing is this. You just don't take an edible fish out of the water. If you were away fishing and caught a trout, you wouldn't take it out of the water and just begin to eat it. Though I understand there are some people in this world who delight in eating probably a specific species of raw fish. I just can't understand that. I just can't understand that. I think I would eat a raw potato first. And mind you, I don't particularly look forward to sampling that. But in ordinary circumstances, and by far most people will only eat fish after it's processed, after it undergoes special treatment. The treatment of which is, as you know, fish are cut up and cooked. And do you know something, boys and girls? That process is a picture of what God does to the sinner, to make the sinner profitable, good, and useful. If you're saved this morning, then you have undergone a process just like that which fish undergo in order to make them edible. And you go into the superstore with your mother, or maybe on your own, and you go round there to where all the packets of different fish are on sale, and you pick up a fish. You might not think it, Christian, but you're picking up that which is a picture of yourself. And I'm not talking about the big watery eye of the fish and the strange expression it might well have on its face. No, I'm talking about the cooking process that that fish has gone through. It's a picture of what you have experienced in order to be saved. And if you're not saved this morning, you need to undergo a process like that which a fish has to undergo in order to become profitable and good and edible. What do I mean by that? Well, just think about it. The first thing that the fish brought up out of the depths has to undergo in order to become food is it has to die. It has to die. And I'm saying to you this morning, strange and all as it may appear, if you're not saved, you can only go to heaven if you first of all die. Well, I don't mean die as in funeral and graveyard and so forth. No, there has to be a dying of you to sin, to sin. Let me read some verses. Again, we're going to Romans. It's the chapter 6. Chapter 6. And we'll read from verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Just as the fish brought up out of the depths, in order that it might be made food, it had to die. And in order for you to become a Christian, you have to experience a death. You have to die to sin. The fish dies. It's no longer swimming out there in the depths of the ocean. The sinner who becomes a Christian dies, and they're no longer swimming in sin. They've been separated from sin. That's how you know whether or not a person is truly a Christian. They're no longer what they once were. They're no longer doing what once they did. There's a trend today, you know, and it's of the devil. And it's nudging its way into good gospel churches. It's knocking at the door. It's chiefly knocking at the door of young people's meetings. And the notion is, you can be a Christian and still do the old things. You can be a Christian and still love the world. That's not of God. That's a deceit of the devil. No, just like the fish had to die in order to become food, so if you're not saved today, you have to die before you can become a Christian. And I'm explaining, it's dying to sin. It's ceasing in the ways of sin. That's the death I'm talking about. That's the death. But it not only has to die, this fish. And I'll read you one more verse in connection with that. It's 1 Peter chapter 2 and the verse 24, speaking of the Saviour on the cross, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin. Are you listening? That we, being dead to sin. You know, when I'm preaching before a congregation, I can tell who's dead to sin in the meeting and those who are not. Those who are dead to sin, who have undergone the experience that I'm speaking of, they're looking at me attentively. Those who are not dead to sin and don't like what they're hearing, they're trying very hard not to hear. How is it with you this morning? Are you like the fish taken out of water, longing to get back into the water? There's a death that has to be experienced, a dying to sin. But it doesn't end there for the fish. It's not enough for them to be dead. They're still not edible. They have to go through a process, as I said. There's a cooking process before the meat, the flesh of the fish, is turned into that which we can savour and enjoy and benefit from. The Lord Jesus said this, "Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Just as fish have to be cooked in order to be edible, we have to be born again. We have to be taken into the hands of God and wrought upon and worked over and made new by His power before we become profitable to God and to men. The fish gathered out of Galilee fed the thousands of people who lived around Galilee and far further afield who would have been taken down to the market in Jerusalem, etc., so that all of the country benefited from the fish that were taken up by the net out of the Sea of Galilee. And when God is finished with the sinner, and the sinner has died to sin, and they have been born again, they become useful far afield. Far afield. Each one of us knows of some missionary or some preacher from our own area who has gone out to the far ends of the world and have become a source of food to people far, far away. Don't you see the picture here of the fish taken up, processed? Well, that's just how it is with Christians. They're taken up. They die to sin. They're born again. They're made new creatures. And thus they become profitable. Under God, Saul of Tarsus was lifted up out of the depths. And God made him Paul the Apostle. And he fed millions. And we're still feeding on him. We were feeding on him when I read from Romans. Don't you see the picture? You can never be a Christian until, like that fish, you've been taken up out of the darkness. You've died to sin in the world, and you've been made a new creature in Christ by the wondrous power and working of God the Holy Ghost. When that happens, then you become like the man possessed of devils in Gadara. A madman. A curse in the district. The place was scared of him, frightened out of their lives of him. They tried to chain him up. But one word from the Lord took him up out of the depths and made him profitable. Because he became a messenger of God to that area and went out and told them all the things that God had done for him. Have you had that process wrought in your life? Have you been taken up from the depths? Have you been made a new creature in Christ? 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 10 says, which in time past were not a people. These people to whom he's writing, these Christians, these believers to whom Peter is writing, he says there was a time you weren't a people. That is, you weren't a people of any significance or any importance. You're just blind, lost sinners. But now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Has that change been wrought in you? You who once were a creature of the depths and the darkness, now a child of God. A benefit and a blessing to those around you because you carry to them the bread of life. You're a source of food. Has that happened to you? Do you feel the drawing of the net today? Is there that within you that, just like the fish in the net, that's kicking, wriggling, struggling to get out of the net and get away back to sin? Or by the grace of God is there a yielding of your life into the hands of the Savior? Oh, you come to Christ today. Experience the change that's spoken of in the gospel. Be born again. Become a new creature and start for heaven. May the Lord bless His word to our heart. Let's just bow together, please, in prayer. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee today for Thy word and for the glorious pictures that You have within it that illustrates the truth of the gospel. May what has been said today prove to be a blessing to each boy and girl, to each person here. And Lord, I pray that if there's a struggling today in the net and a trying to escape the gospel net, subdue that person. Work Thy grace within them whereby they may surrender themselves to Christ and be saved. Bless the school, those who are sick. We commit them to Thee, praying for Thy loving, healing touch. Hear us now. Be with us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.